Welcome to Learning Through Technology, a K-12 EdTech podcast brought to you by STS Education. We strive to be the bridge that connects communities of educators so that they can fulfill the promise of learning through technology. Join us every other week as we connect with education leaders who share their deep experience with the education and technology topics you are grappling with in your own schools and districts. Each interview is designed to bring you tangible ideas you can start using tomorrow. I'm Alex Inman, the founder of Educational Collaborators.
And I'm Bob Cerruti, founder of the EduTech Group. Welcome to the show. Alex, this is one of those interesting ideas we had, kind of like, you know, launching a podcast. But we're going to do something a little different today.
All right.
I think we're going to talk a bit about how we got here and where we're going. And just the two of us, no guests. We're just going to reflect a bit on how we got to where we are in our careers and where we would like to see things go. A little magical mystery tour.
Bob, I mean, like, I heard your story. You heard my story. What are we talking about here?
You're going to have to wait and see. That's the key here, right? If the witch told Dorothy what was at the end of the yellow brick road, there wouldn't be a movie. So, Alex, we've got to take this magical mystery tour and see where it leads us.
All right, let's do that. All right, Bob. We are rolling.
So we're supposed to say, like, here's Alex. I thought you were going to do that when I came back into the screen. Anyway, Sophia's too young for that pop reference. Okay, Alex, we're going to try something a little different. I want your thoughts on something. So refresh my memory. When did you lie to that school and say, yes, you do computers? How long ago was that?
That was 1996.
Wow. At some point, we're going to have to cut you open and count the rings to see how old you are. So here's my question. You started in education. I admitted in the podcast where I interviewed you that you were a visionary. What would you do differently in your career from where you went to where you're at now?
Wow. Geez, that's a really good question.
I know. Thank you.
What would I do differently in my career? So it's going to be a bit of a lame answer, I think, Bob, because
you've been perfect to this point and there's nothing to change.
No, because what you called being an innovator, I think was more an accident, right? Than anything else, right? Like, it's just most of my career was marked with me seeing more potential in schools than what we were living and trying to find new ways to improve it, right? And so, the whole reason I wanted to get into educational film and television, and I learned about digital education. And so I thought, okay, well, since the industry isn't doing that yet, I'll get into the classroom. Now, I think if I were to go back and look at that fork in the road, I did not want to go to the classroom. I wanted to get into the media industry, right? But the media industry, there weren't jobs for people doing what I wanted to do. So I went into the classroom, but I didn't know what I didn't know at that time. So I thought, with my freshly minted degree in education, that I understood what media needed to benefit students. Well, baloney. I didn't have a clue. I had no idea. Once I got into the classroom, then I really started to understand the challenges of the day. And then it wasn't really media. It really was more tech. And it was the tools and the resources and the systems. And it's my entire career was just a series of fortunate accidents that stumbled me onto things that I think helped. Yeah, it was not deliberate.
So it's funny you say that it was a set of fortunate accidents. I tell this to Mark all the time, or the CEO of STS who helped start EduTech with me. I tell him all the time, I'm an accidental entrepreneur. It just happened I stumbled upon a need, and then luck would have it that I'm pretty good at working hard. I'm not very good at knowing what to do next, but I'm pretty good at working hard. And I'm pretty good at
over intelligence any day.
Right. Anytime you want to compare test scores, I'm down with it. GPAs, not my thing. Test scores, let's go. But that's how I ended up in it. So I don't know. Is that actually how people actually set out to start businesses and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to make this and I'm going to make this happen? Whereas you and I are just like, we kind of found our way to it.
That's an even better question. And we don't have anybody to answer that for us.
So, okay. I have a little story I want to share about my first epiphany moment. We talked about my coming from engineering and then in working in private industry before going to work in schools. And I don't remember the technology's name. It's either Quizlet or Quizdom, but it was every student had a little Jeopardy button, A, B, and C or whatever. And the Parent Teacher Association had bought a bunch for this elementary school. And I was just in the back of the classroom working on a computer for a teacher. But I paid attention. I guess that's one thing that I've done is I've always paid attention. I've always wanted to learn. So I wanted to learn about education, ironically. And I'm sitting in the back of the classroom and she's bringing up onto her projector just questions. And all the kids are answering and then she can see the answers. And she's going along, you know, 90% of them got this right. And then one of them, like only 22% or something got them right. And she's like, okay, she stopped. And she immediately went about figuring out why they got the wrong answer, because they all got it wrong. So she saw that I've done something wrong here and started working with them on it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is why we do this. This is where technology can fix all of this. And I was like, until then, I was just a computer guy fixing computers in the back. And I'm like, it's here. The power is here. And that was 15 years ago. And I don't know that we've yet made that happen for students.
Well, so it's a perfect example. I'm glad that you picked that example because pre-testing is part of best practices of teaching and learning. But the logistics of pre-testing, a lot of teachers don't do it because it was too hard to find out from your students where their current understanding was fast enough for you to adjust what it was that you were talking about, right? So you do like a paper quiz, right? And you do a paper quiz, you collect those, do your lesson. And then only after the fact would you look at the quiz scores and say, oh crap, they didn't get that. Well, that means they probably didn't get most of what I got today. And so you'd have to go back doubly in order to do it. But that concept about teaching and learning was out long before Quizlet. Quizlet, Kahoot, these things, they just made it easier for you to sort of gather up information and know what percentage of your students got it or not.
Well, that's the whole idea, though, right? Is to make it easier so that you can be more efficient and optimize the student's outcome from that information being available in real time, right? You didn't have it in real time when you did a pretest. You would collect those papers back and then you'd grade them all and then you'd have to make notes.
And then they weren't a pretest anymore. They were a post-test of yesterday. So, all right, let me turn this question around, though, because my happy accident started in ed tech from the very beginning, fresh out of college. You did the whole race car engineering thing, IT for a auto dealership before you ended up into ed tech. Would you have traded any of those previous experiences to start in ed tech earlier?
No, actually, I don't think I would have. I think all of that has come into play. I learned a lot about customer service working in auto groups. In a very good auto group. Some of the best lessons I ever learned were from the general manager who knew nothing about computers, but she was just a brilliant, hardworking, compassionate woman who took me under her wing and probably doesn't even know that she did, but did. So I learned a lot there. One of the things that I sometimes relate to our staff when we're talking about work we're doing at for a school or whatever is one thing I learned when working on race cars was you do it exactly right. If you do it a little right in school or you do it mostly right, it's good enough. But you do it exactly right because somebody is going to strap their butt into that device that automobile that you've prepared and put their life on the line for it. So it has to be exactly right. I learned a bit about preparation and attention to detail then that has served me well as we've gone forward with this sort of stuff. But yeah, I wouldn't change it either. It's been a pretty good ride so far.
Yeah. I mean, I think what that sort of underscores, and I think both of our journeys, as Miley Cyrus wisely said, it's not about getting to the mountaintop. It's the climb.
Okay. So I have to check my bingo card here to see if I had Miley Cyrus in my pop references from Alex in this. And no, I had the Three Amigos at the center, but no Miley Cyrus there, so.
It's the climb.
All right. So in a recent podcast, Alex, you and I discussed the merits of conferences. And we're on opposite sides to start, but you convinced me. And I don't know that I needed a lot of convincing. Episode made me think of this, but this does not need to be related to a conference. So I'll put that out there. But tell me about what, and so this brings together also, what we just talked about, kind of the serendipity of both of our careers. Like, we just kind of stumbled into things and we were smart enough to seize that opportunity and then bust butts to make it work. So what is the most unexpected conversation you had that like changed the way you thought about something? And I'm kind of thinking like, maybe you met somebody in the bar at a conference or a sidebar in the hallway outside of the convention room. But it doesn't have to be that. It could be a conversation you had at the airport with somebody who has known nothing about educational technology or anything. Anything like that that makes you think, huh, there is something I could talk about.
So sort of like a conversation that I've had with somebody that sort of led to an epiphany that changed my
Let's
direction.
Let's be clear, Alex. You're going to talk about whatever you want to anyway. There's your prompt. What do you got? Wow us, Alex. Wow us.
One that comes to mind that I put a lot of work into and still feel like I am shy of wrapping my arms around is the use of data in education in general. So I got involved in data really early on. I was in a conversation with other tech directors and we were talking about how much time our staff spent working on data-related issues in the summertime, getting new enrollees where they need to be. You know, I was in private school, so they would come through an admissions portal, right? Rather than sort of dumped in through the regular sort of district enrollment process. And then there's some complexities associated with that, particularly on the advancement, which is the fundraising side. Like, you have to know your families and who the parents are and if they're divorced or not and where the kid lives and what the sensitivities are between them, because you're going to be asking them for money, which is different than just sending a bus notice. And so I was talking with other independent school folks and we were talking about how much time we spent in organizing the data in the summertime. And it annoyed me because I knew that data could be extracted, transformed, and loaded, ETL. I knew that you could do those kinds of things with data, but I had no idea how to do it. I just knew that it was possible, right? And it bugged me that it was possible to do something that we weren't doing. So I spent 2 years and an enormous amount of money to save money by having my staff not have to do that stuff by hand. And once we got it done, it was hilarious. It was amazing. Stuff that my data coordinator spent literally 6 weeks doing for 40 hours a week, we did in under 6 minutes because she could do it. We had validation reports. She could look at the validation report. Yes, that is what we're expecting. And then boom, send it on. And so it was amazing. But then I hear about people using like data dashboards that are in their SIS or in their learning management system, but they're only taking advantage of the data that's in that specific data set and not the other data that we know about the student. And that frustrates me. So then I worked with my own school and then with other schools to spend an enormous amount of money to structure data. Because when data was structured, then you could do all that cross analysis. And if it was properly structured, it was also properly updated. And it just annoyed me that people would spend money putting together a dashboard with unstructured data that was valid for like 10 seconds. And so now AI is out. And people use AI to give you insights. And that AI is based off of oftentimes small data sets, not interoperable with other data sets, and relying on data structures that they don't understand because they were created by large language models that they didn't create. So now I am frustrated again about this and want to figure out how do we create small language models inside of our district where we can train the AI to do the analysis that we want it to do, structure the data for us based off of our rules, and then give us those insights across our data tools. And I don't know how to do that, but I know it can be done. So you ask about a conversation. I had a conversation with a bunch of tech directors, and actually Bill Stites was one of those guys who was on that Atlas podcast that we did. But that was a conversation that has led to now probably more than 15 years of battles with data to try to figure out how we can create sustainable ways to use data to make impacts in schools. And that was a really long answer.
Yeah, yeah. Our producer, Sophia, had to nudge me. He's done talking. So here I am back. Okay, that makes me think. So you got into AI, and we've done a couple of episodes on AI, and I get all excited, and Mary Beth Hertz and her discussions. But I have to ask this. We're both old. I'm older than you.
Thank you. You beat me to it.
So we've seen a lot in technology and education, and we've been excited about things before. I don't know if it's just the way I'm feeling today or whatever. I just don't feel like it has made the changes we had hoped for.
Tech in general or AI?
The technology to this point, and now we're excited about AI. You had just talked about AI, and boy, I see the potential in it. I use AI. I know you use AI. Sophia uses AI for a lot of the work we do now. But is it going to change schools? Are we going to talk about tough things like schools are reluctant to change? They just are. Like, that's a fact.
I don't want to sound like a pessimist because I'm really not a pessimist, but I no longer believe, and I did early in my career, believe that technology could revolutionize education. I don't believe that anymore.
Wait. So I think it can, and I think you think it can, but we think it won't.
Fair. I do think it can, and I do think it does, but I don't think it will. Okay, let me clarify.
Let's use the real word revolutionize, though. You said revolutionized. So to me, that's a sea change. That is everything is different, and I don't see everything as different. I'm afraid it's still evolutionary and not revolutionary. Mm-hmm. And that's disappointing to a guy who gets very, very excited about some technologies.
Okay, so this is probably the first time I've ever asked you to just stop talking so that I can interrupt you and get my answer out.
Yeah, that never happens. You just talk over me.
All I have to do is just wait 2 seconds and I can get in. But no, so Bob, I'm mostly agreeing with you. We're mostly on the same page. I believe teachers revolutionize the classroom. Teachers can revolutionize education, and they can do that with the technology tools, right? We talked earlier about the Quizlet thing, right? So like that technology, I mean, it is literally a technological replacement for something that's been around for a long time. But a teacher who knows how to use it, knows how to leverage it well, now can design their lesson in a way that is flexible based off of the feedback that they get from the quiz, right? And because they know the technology is going to give them the quiz answer at the beginning, now that teacher can make all sorts of personalized, depending upon how they parse that data, because they can actually parse that data, and a good teacher will, know how to meet the needs of different learners in real time. But what they need is the information to do that. And so an excellent revolutionary teacher is not someone who designs for the path of least resistance or this is going to cover my job responsibilities and get me through the day. But if I really want to make a distinct impact on each kid, that is revolutionary. And that didn't come from Quizlet. It came from the teacher who knew how to structure the lessons from a personalized perspective and then reverse engineer that to know what kind of question do I need to ask? And then how am I going to use that data? Oh, if that's how I want to use the data, I actually need to ask the question this way. Then if I ask the question this way, I'm going to get the data that I need to make a revolutionary impact on that kid.
Are you dealing with too many broken Chromebooks at your school? It can be tough to keep up. That's where the STS Education and FedEx Fixed Cost Chromebook Repair Program comes in. For $99, we take care of everything, shipping, parts, and labor. This means fewer headaches for you and more consistent learning for your students. To learn more, check out stsed.com/break-fix. So, no argument with you. Great teachers have been great teachers since before there was technology, and they knew how best to use a chalkboard. I won't argue that. But single people are not revolutionary. They are to those students that they're working with. They could change those lives or paths in their careers. I agree with all of that. But it's not revolutionary, Alex. It's not. I guess this is my call to action. Those people that Alex is talking about out there, that's who we want to talk to on this podcast. Where's the revolution? Isn't that the same? The revolution will be broadcast. So you're the communications guy. Now, look, he doesn't even get that reference. But those are the people we need to talk to, because I do think that there are a lot of teachers out there who want to do it and don't know where to start, not sure what to do.
Now I'm getting philosophical on you. So I don't know that there's such a thing as revolution in education. And I don't know that I care, because education was never about the system that it created and perpetuates. Education is and has always been about the individual student and that individual student's growth. Now, school and education is the system that we leverage to create that individual growth, but it is about that individual growth. And individual teachers can have a revolutionary impact on individual lives. That's why we ask the question, who's your favorite teacher and why? And the stories that you tell are revolutionary to your life. And I think we can still use tech to target that individual revolution and not even care if it changes the overall system.
All right. I'm going back several hundred years for this next, but you're wrong. This next pop reference. It's not a revolution if Martin Luther tacks up his theses in his bedroom. It's not a revolution when if George Washington's riding his horse across his property thinking there could be a better way of self-rule. Those aren't revolutions. That's people with thoughts. When he puts it on the door to the church and says, these are the things we believe, this is how we're going to live, that's a revolution.
It's a societal revolution.
Well, that's what we're looking for here.
And if we are defining revolution as a societal revolution, which I used to seek ed tech to do, is to have that societal revolution. I no longer believe, or at least ascribe to, that as being the purpose of education or my work in education. My work, and to me, the purpose of education is to create that individual revolution in an individual student, which I know ed tech and the work that we do can have. I know that it can. And I know that it can empower teachers to do what they do well substantially better. So it's a different take. The reality is the societal revolution of education that I used to seek, I don't seek anymore. And I don't consider it a surrender. I would have in my 20s and maybe even my early 30s, but I don't consider it a surrender anymore, so long as we are focused on how EdTech can make that revolution at an individual level. And if we do that, it's a win for every single kid that gets it. And when we don't, it's a failure. But it's a failure whether EdTech was involved or not.
I can't believe that I'm the starry-eyed perfectionist. I want it this way out of this duo here, but I want to see the full force, the full promise of technology, and it's full of it. And we're just not seeing it yet. We're doing our best to make it happen, but I don't think you surrendered, but I think you've accepted.
So I want to see the societal revolution that comes from education, but maybe we're tackling the problem wrong, because I don't think it comes from within this system. I don't think that revolutionizing education gets you the societal revolution that you seek.
So I'm not looking for a societal revolution. What I'm looking for is the way we teach.
Why are you looking for that? Why?
This is not a discussion of school funding or choice or moving away from a public education model. This is just about what I know a bit about, which is technology and how it can be used and how it is being used in education. And I don't think it has revolutionized teaching, but I think it could.
If everybody used one-to-one laptops or Chromebooks or whatever, the way that you thought that they should be used, is that the revolution? If they used AI the way that you thought that they should use it, is that the revolution? When are you there?
It's not one thing. The fact that we still have teachers at the front of a classroom, as far as I need to go.
Oh, I can tell you all sorts of reasons why the revolution hasn't occurred, Bob. I want you, Mr. Starry-eyed, I seek a revolution. I'm on my horse charging on a windmill. Don Quixote, come on. I mean, I know it's not really pop reference, it's literature reference, but work with me, man. Dad, read a book. All right, I'm just kidding. Bob actually reads substantially more than I do, particularly fiction. And so don't tell me what a revolution isn't. Tell me what the revolution is.
So here's where my shortcoming is I can't make that revolution. I'm not an educator. I wasn't called to that.
This is very convenient. You're calling for a revolution that you can't define and are not responsible for supporting. No.
I'm not calling for a revolution. Oh, I can define the revolution. We both know that I was not a good fit for classroom and the way school was taught.
All right.
I wasn't a good fit. I'm honest about that. And I didn't suffer from many of the maladies that a lot of students suffer from now. Like, I had a loving home. I ate meat. You know, we didn't have much, but I always had meals. I didn't worry about it. And yet it still didn't fit for me. And I had some great teachers who I've talked about. But that, go sit in a classroom for 45 minutes or an hour while somebody lectures me, it doesn't work. I'll tell you what the revolution looks like. It looks like for the Alexes or the Sophias who sit in the front of the classroom and that's the way they learn, those classrooms look like that. For the Bobs who have to try it and fail and try and fail and try and fail until they learn it, that's what my classroom looks like. And when we have AI, this is the 2 seconds where you let me finish for a change.
Yeah, well, this we know. Alex has to deliberately shut up to allow you to talk. It's the other way around that was surprising.
Is there a button or something we're looking for here that shuts up, Alex?
All right, go ahead, please.
When the classrooms look like that in all the other ways that students learn, and it's facilitated by technology and it's facilitated by AI, that's when we've got the revolution.
Ah, so are you saying that the revolution actually comes at the individual learner level?
Yeah, so with the help of technology. Yep, I think it makes it possible.
It sounds a lot like you defined the revolution that you are seeking exactly like I just defined it.
No, you're talking about this kid.
Welcome to the mountaintop, Bob.
Alex, I can see over you when we're standing next to each other. What mountaintop are we talking about? When you're right in what you say, what you want for each kid, that's when you say there's a revolution for that kid. I want it for all of them.
Yeah.
You and I agree. You're just not thinking grand enough for me.
I'm just not big enough. Well, like, I'm not big enough. That is not the first time that this has been said about the 5'4" Alex. So, no, I
agree with you, Bob. I'm done talking.
I agree with you, Bob.
I wanted to help you out. Like, I
agree with you, Bob, because you agree with me.
Oh. You know, we do that some where we work around and then we end up in the same place, right?
I know a lot, actually. All right, now I'm gonna shift our direction just a little bit now, because this will never be released or recorded. This is being recorded, but it'll never be released.
Are you kidding, Sophia? Right now, she's thinking, I'm using this.
She's like, this is gold. You know, so Bob, like, my mother is about as politically opposite for me as you can possibly get. But the reality is, when we actually engage in conversations, we do the same thing. And it's one of the things that actually, I think, gets in the way of education. And that revolution that we're talking about is people get hung up on AI, or they get hung up on school vouchers, or they get hung up on school funding or Common Core curriculum. And it ends up being about those things rather than what you and I just agreed is actually the revolution. When the student has that individual revolution because they have learned and the teacher has met their needs so that they can learn. And technology is a super powerful way to do that. But the beauty of technology has always been that technology can be AI. It can be personalized learning. It can be automated worksheets. It can be pre-recorded lectures that can be listened to multiple times. It can be so many different methods of learning or teaching that the learner can get what they need, so long as the teacher and the school and the system makes it sort of accessible to them and then connects it to them, right? Helps to connect it to them. And right now, I don't know any technology that knows a student. You can know how you performed on previous quizzes and make content choices based off of that, but that's not knowing a kid. And when we ask our guests, or you or I share our stories about our favorite teachers, there's a interpersonal kind of connection that had nothing to do with the content that helped make that revolution click at an individual level.
So I want to be clear about something, because I think that those great teachers of whom I speak of and you do and our guests have, technology will never replace that and those relationships and understanding. But I think it makes them, when done right, it makes them so much more effective. It makes perhaps that teacher, their reach to more students, to the students who learn from that kind of teaching style. For me, I've talked about John Wampum as my, you know, English teacher. I liked him because of the way he taught. He was still teaching the same curriculum as everybody else. It was the way he was doing it. Now, instead of being limited to 23 students in a class or 28 or however many we had in our class, what if John can teach to those students who want to learn the way I wanted to learn to hundreds or thousands of students?
Here's the revolution from like the systemic side of things. And something that is not always very popular when I say it is, I believe that we pay our educators exactly opposite of what we should. Your early childhood teachers are your lowest paid, sometimes barely above minimum wage teachers. And your tenured college professors who are, you know, teaching, I'm not commenting on their research, I'm really commenting on their teaching, are teaching content, and they are being rewarded for their expertise in content. Content in the information age is cheap. It is cheap and it is not valuable because it is easy to get. The value, and now I'm going to give back my nod to my tenured professors, the value is the finding the information, the evaluating, the understanding the information in new ways. And if you look at a high school teacher and an early childhood teacher and you ask who spends more time focusing on understanding context and deriving new information from it, oh, it's the teacher of the 3-year-old versus the 15-year-old 10 times over, because they don't have that context. And so what you're doing is you're focused exclusively on the skills and the person and how that person learns. And if the revolution were to come by us saying the compensation, the reward, the effort in teacher programs is focused on how to understand the learner and help the learner understand how they learn in shifting contexts of rapidly shifting information. And that's how we designed all of our structures. That would be, I think, a cultural revolution that achieves more of what I think you are seeking, that perhaps I have been less focused on.
Once again, Alex is going to get the last word in our conversation here about, well, about all things, mostly revolution, I guess. And our,
even our revolution.
We need to get Sophia, when you're listening in, we need to get the t-shirts with Alex's face on them. Education Through Technology Podcast. So our accidental conversation about how we got here and where we want our world of educational technology and education in general to go. Pretty good conversation, I thought, Alex.
I thought it was pretty fun, especially since it was entirely impromptu.
So Sophia says this is going to be a podcast. So until next time, Alex.
Thanks very much, Bob. This was fun. Well, Bob, I had told my children that we were doing a podcast, and of course, they didn't spend any time listening until we had merch. Once we had merch, and I said, oh, I'm drinking out of my Learning Through Technology at K-12 EdTech podcast water bottle right now. My Learning Through Technology K-12 podcast sticker on my water bottle. Like, once I had merch, I was cool.
You were never cool, Alex. You were never cool. I don't care what they said. I will say the water bottle is cool. You were never cool. So surprisingly, people ask us about this stuff. They ask questions about us and they ask questions about the merch. So what can we do here?
I tell you what, if you are one of our listeners and you are interested for whatever reason, and merch associated with our spectacular podcast, reach out actually to podcast@sdsed.com. So podcast@sdsed.com. SDS Education, of course, is the sponsor of our podcast. Reach out to them and say, hey, I am interested in some merch. And Sophia, our producer, will find a way to get you some of our spectacular podcast merch.
Spectacular, huh, Alex?
You know, you too will be cool when you have Learning Through Technology, a K-12 EdTech podcast merchandise.
I don't think that's a good way to move merchandise, Alex, by making people think that your idea of cool is cool.
It hasn't worked so far, but maybe one of these days. All right. For a completely impromptu podcast that we pulled together, Bob, it was great.
It was something, Alex.
It was something. Until next time, everyone.
Learning Through Technology, a K-12 EdTech podcast, is brought to you by STS Education, a Pacific OneSource company. To learn more about how educators can leverage technology to drive successful educational outcomes, check us out at www.stsed.com. Connect with us by searching for Learning Through Technology in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or anywhere else podcasts are found. And click subscribe so you don't miss an episode. On behalf of the team at STS Education, thanks for joining us.